know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? I want to draw your attention to those last two verses we read, verse number 8 and verse number 9. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And notice this, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? If God would touch us and stand by us and help us for a little while tonight, I want to preach on this thought, God's awareness alert. God's awareness alert. You know, in America we have many awareness days, whether you're aware of it or not, we have many awareness days that cause us to pay attention to something we normally don't even pay attention to. We'll have different days. Some of them are marked on the calendar. You'll see some of them flash on interstate signs. But they're things that like this, breast cancer awareness, ozone awareness, terrorism awareness days, and different things like that that we normally don't think about, that they stop and put a mark on that day to let us know, hey, you need to pay attention to something that ordinarily we don't pay any attention to. You probably don't drive a mile less than you normally would when they have ozone alert days. We just get in the car and go just like always. Some of you may pay attention to that. I don't know. But they'll have those days and they want you to park your car, you know, ride the bus, do something different, you know, try to protect the ozone if that's possible. Terrorism awareness, you know, after September the 11th, it seemed like everybody was looking for Osama in the backyard, you know, and nowadays it's just going by, you know. We don't really pay no attention to those things, but they have different colors. They want you to be aware of something that normally we're not aware of. Normally we don't take any time to pay attention to these things. But I tell you, I believe there's something else that we need to be aware of, that I'm afraid a lot of times we go right on by and don't pay a whole lot of attention to unless we come to the house of God. And that is to have an awareness alert that God is in our world. Amen. I said God is in our world. Whether you realize it or not, God is in this world. Amen. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 32, God was doing the talking. He said, Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. He didn't say days, you know, in consecutive order or days in a row. He just said, when I look back over the thought life of my people, there are days without number that they have forgotten me. My God, I believe that could be said of us too many times, don't you? I'm afraid the only time we think about God is Sunday or Wednesday night, whatever days y'all have midweek service. That's about the only time. Or youth camp or camp meeting, you know, we'll stop and take a little time for God. But I wonder, in our everyday thought life, do we take some time to give God some thought and some place in our life? Are we aware that God is in this world? It seems like so many people, when trouble strikes, that's when they're aware of God and they realize, I need God to move in my life. But when everything's going right, the sun's shining bright, there's no storms in their life, they just live just like there is no God. My friend, we need to be aware that there is a God. Amen. In Genesis chapter number 28, the Bible tells us of Jacob. He had a dream. He was running from God. He was running from his past. And this particular night, he laid down to sleep. He must have been exhausted. He used a rock for a pillow. And he laid down to sleep there, catch a few hours of shut-eye. And the Bible said while he laid down, there was a ladder that stretched from earth to heaven. There were angels ascending and descending on that ladder as Jacob laid there that night. It looked like a wonderful chance to get right with God for a man that was running from God. It looked like he had a perfect opportunity to get right with God. But the Bible said Jacob awoke and said, Surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. I wonder how many times, church, I want to preach to you tonight if the Lord will help me. I wonder how many times we climb in our cars and we drive our separate ways back to our homes, back to our jobs, back to our normal life, and we would have to say the Lord was in that place. And I wasn't even aware that the Lord was in that service tonight. Or I wasn't even aware that the Lord was in that service today. I want to tell you something. The Bible tells us that man was made in the image of God and after His likeness. And there is a desire within the heart of man to have fellowship with an Almighty God. Can you say amen? There is a desire in the heart of man to have fellowship and to have communion with God. I don't know what that is popping. I don't know if I'm doing it or what it is. You'll just have to forgive me if I'm doing it. But anyway, we like to have fellowship one with another. We come to church. We've talked about that a little already. We love to come and have fellowship one with another and visit one with another. And that's because we are made after each other's likeness. We just have a desire to be together and be united together. And I'm telling you, God has that same desire with us. He wants to be united with us. He wants to be drawn close to us. And it is the desire of man to have fellowship with an Almighty God tonight. Amen. But I'm afraid we go too many times without having that fellowship with God and without having that communion with an Almighty God. And it's not because God don't want to have that communion. It's because we're missing something on our part. Amen. I said we're missing something on our part. But today we hear the question so many times. Brother David, give you a little insight to an accident that happened close to home, close to my home there in Oklahoma. A couple of young men, I guess you was acquainted with one of them. We was acquainted, distantly with both of them. But both of those men were ushered into eternity. Young men in the prime of their life, ushered into eternity. And when you hear things like that, undoubtedly, you'll hear this question. Where was God at? Why would God allow something like that to happen? Why would God choose to take young men out in their prime? And I mentioned already September the 11th. But when I listened to the news after that, you can probably remember exactly where you was. And I remember where I was and listening to the news and hearing the reports of what was going on that tragic day of our nation. But there was a lot of questions. Where was God on September the 11th, 2001? As if God all of a sudden just turned His back on the world because terror struck all of a sudden. I want to tell you, just because there's evil does not mean there's not good in this world. I said, just because there's evil does not mean there's not good. In our text here tonight, we have a perfect utopia. I mean, what more could you ask for than a garden that God had built and a garden that God had set up? And God said it wasn't good to leave it like that. And so God stooped down into the dirt and He made man. And he loved man so much He said it's not good that man should be alone. And He stooped down again, took a rib out of Adam and made a woman. I'm telling you, what more could you ask for than a garden where God had placed everything in it? But the Bible tells us the serpent entered into that garden where the perfect utopia was. And that serpent entered into where God was at. People's perception is the presence of God means the absence of evil. But in our text we see that evil came into a perfect place where God was at. Amen. A perfect place. And evil came into that world. Yes, our world is full of evil. But that does not do away with the fact that God is also in our world tonight. I know when we look outside the doors of the church house, we see evil on every side. You wouldn't have to drive a mile around this place tonight to find evil. I know there's evil in this world. But that don't do away with the fact that there's also a God in this world. Amen. Away with these people that say you've come too late to have revival. You've come too late to have a move of God. You've come too late to see young folks saved and on fire for God. Just because there's evil in our world does not mean God does not also exist in our world. Amen. We see the parallel of good and evil in our world. And I know there's evil, but there's also good in our world. Amen. I said there's also good in our world. Man, the Bible said, hid himself from the presence of the Lord. Oh God, help me to preach right here. The Bible said man hid himself from the presence of the Lord. And man's question is, where is God at? Don't we hear it all the time? Man's question, where is God? But God's question is, where art thou, Adam? I tell you, when God asks the questions tonight, He's asking, where is man? Man's looking around saying, where is God in this evil world? Where is God in everything that's going on? And I tell you, if we could hear the voice of God tonight, I believe He'd be saying, where is man in my world? My friends, this is not our world. This is God's world. I said, this is not our world. We're living in God's world. We may be looking around asking, where is God at? But I believe when God walks into this world, He begins to ask, where is man at? Why are you not in the house of God? Why are you not where you need to be? I tell you, when God asks the question, He said, where is man in my world? I know there's a lot of times in our lives we can't seem to find God. Stay with me a little while. I want to preach to you before I get done. I know there's a lot of times in our lives circumstance and situation causes us to lose sight of God. And I'm telling you, friend, that does not do away with the fact that there's a God in this world. Amen. You are not the criteria. Amen. I said, you're not the criteria. Just because you can't find God in your little bitty world don't mean that God's not in the world. The Word of God is the criteria. Can you say amen? I said, the Word of God is the criteria we're looking at tonight. And I know sometimes in our worlds we get, you know, in situation and circumstance, and sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God is in our world. And we love to jump over in the book of Job, don't we? I tell you, everybody seems like they've had it as bad as Job sometimes, you know. I feel like Job. You know how we do. I've had those same pity parties too. Sure I have. You have too. We've just jumped over in the book of Job, and we found Job chapter number 23 and verse number 8 and verse number 9. And we said with Job, behold, I go forward, he is not there. And behold, I go backward, and he's not there. On the left hand, he's not there. On the right hand, he's not there. How many times have we quoted it like that? Yeah, but that's not what the Word of God said. The Bible said in the book of Job, Job said, behold, I go forward, and he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, but I cannot behold him. On the right hand, he hideth himself, that I cannot see him. Job did not deny the existence of God. I said, Job did not deny the existence of God. Sometimes we transcend that first phrase all the way down through that verse where Job said, I go forward and he is not there. And we just think because he's not in front of us, he's nowhere around. But Job said he very well could be behind me, but I can't perceive him. He might be on my left hand, but I cannot behold him. On my right hand, he hideth himself. But the very next phrase that Job said, he made God an absolute in his life. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I'm telling you, Brother Job made God an absolute. And he said, God knoweth the way that I take, even though I can't find God. Amen. Job chapter 38. The Bible said, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this? Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? I'm telling you, I read that the other day and that got a hold of me. Where God was looking at Job and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel against me? Words without knowledge. I wonder how many times we speak words without knowledge. Oh yeah, we're doing some talking, but there's not really anything coming out that will profit anybody. Where's God at? I can't find God. I can't feel God. We can't have revival. Words without knowledge. But God answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. And then God said, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Where was you at when God laid the foundation of this great world that we live in? Where was you at when God hung the planets out on nothing, and God put the stars out, and God hung the sun out? Where was you at? I'm telling you, we're living in God's world tonight. Amen. I said, we are living in God's world tonight, whether we realize it or not. We're not living in our world wondering where God's at. We're living in God's world, and I'm afraid God's wondering where we're at so many times. Oh, hallelujah. Words without knowledge. I'm afraid sometimes we testify and we preach words without knowledge. We deny that God is in this world. Oh, I tell you, I'd like to make God a reality in my life, wouldn't you? I believe God is a reality, but I'd like to believe it with all of my heart that God is a reality in my life tonight. Amen. Some of this has got to be hinged on faith. I mean, I got up here at this service and I said, God's in this service. I didn't see God. And you didn't see God either. But didn't we feel the presence of the Lord? And don't we know the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst of them. You may not be able to lay eyes on him tonight, but somewhere in this service, God's walking up and down these aisles and God's wanting to touch somebody before we leave this service tonight. If we have a dry service, it's not God's fault. It's because we didn't find God. I said we didn't find God even though he was here in this service. Can I preach to you just a little bit longer? I don't know what time it was when I got up. I hope I don't preach too long to you. And I'm telling you, God is a reality in our lives. You know, the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I tell you, you need to make that. And I know you'll say, well, I may not be in that good category. And I'm telling you, if you're serving God with all of your heart, you better just put your past behind you. And rest assured, God's got His hand on you. Amen. We was going on vacation. We wanted to go up to New York City. And my in-laws was going, and we was kind of making a family vacation out of it. And we'd made plans and reservations for months in advance. We was looking forward to going out to New York City and spending some time out there and seeing different things. at New York City. It was just a little while, maybe a couple years after, the tragedy in New York City. We was wanting to go see, a big hole in the ground where the Twin Towers was. We got up there in New York City. We got up there on a Saturday night and drove in to New York City on Sunday morning. One of the main things we wanted to do is go to the Times Square Church and that other church in Manhattan. I can't think of it right now. Somebody help me out. Brooklyn Tabernacle. That was a couple of the main things we was wanting to do on Sunday. And so we got to the Times Square Church, and we went to that service that morning. And we was going to spend some time in the afternoon before we went to Brooklyn Tabernacle. And we got to checking our reservations and found out our reservations was completely messed up. We didn't have a hotel. We didn't have anything in New York City. And, it's not, quite like being around here where you just drop off at a hotel, and say, I'd like to stay tonight. They kind of laugh at you, There's so many people that just throng that area. So we realized we was in a jam. We was going to have to leave and get out of New York City and go somewhere else. No reservations. And so I was disappointed, but I got to see some things that I wanted to see. And we headed out of there Monday morning. We decided to drive down to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And there's, a big theater down there where they have plays and stuff, bookstore, yeah. There's some different things down there. I thought, well, that'd be all right. And we got down there, and the girls was doing some shopping. We went to a little Chinese place to eat some food. And my father-in-law seen some people over there, and he really likes black folks in their worship. I guess he got a little bit in him. You can tell it when he sings and stuff. But he really likes those people. And he seen some black folks over there, and they looked holy. So we went over to where they was at and asked them where they went to church. And here we are in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and they're from Maryland, a little ways away. And they said, they was telling us that their names was Jones. And Brother Jones said, Sister Jones, I can't remember the first name, but she's in the last stages of kidney dialysis. And she has to come up to Lancaster for her treatments. And we got to talking to them for a while, told them we was preachers, and talked a little bit about church. And they said, won't you come to our church on Wednesday night? We said, we'd love to. They told us the pastor's wife taught on Wednesday night. We said, that'd be fine. Just wanted to be in church somewhere on Wednesday night. And so they give us the directions, and we decided we was going to go down there until we got to looking at the directions and realized there wasn't no way we was going to be able to find that church. We're just hillbillies from Oklahoma, and we ain't used to all these roads and stuff. So we just figured, well, we're going to have to find another place to go to church. Well, the next day we met up with them and told them, we just didn't think we was going to be able to find it. And they said, well, we'll just stay and we'll lead you down there. And we thought, man, this is great. So we went down to church that night. And, you don't have to have a lot of discernment to tell when the church is really needing help from God. And we could tell in that service that night. The pastor's wife taught. It was wonderful. And but you could tell there was just something missing in that church. They was needing the move of God. They was needing help from the Lord. And so we sat through the service. And after the service was over, we was introduced to the pastor, and we talked to him for a little bit. And I'm telling you, this man was a gigantic man, about 6'4", just got out of the Marines, big, husky, strong-looking man. And we talked to him for a while, and I'm telling you, they was as holiness as we look here tonight, up there in Maryland. Never heard of him before, never been back since, but they was holiness folks up there in Maryland. And that pastor and his wife told us this church was just about on the bottom. And we got out of the Marines, and his wife was out of the Marines too. And you wouldn't want to mess with them, I promise you. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. But they said this church was on the bottom. It's about to close up. And we came and opened it up, and people started coming. They had a good-sized crowd there. And they said, you could just tell. They didn't say a whole lot about it, but you could just tell they was needing a visitation of the Lord. And my father-in-law looked over at that pastor and said, before we leave, he said, I think we ought to pray for Sister Jones. She's in the last stages of kidney dialysis, just about to die. And that pastor said, that'd be great. We're believing God to help her. And I'm telling you, church, it was unlike anything I've ever seen before in my life. People were leaving and walking out, and we grabbed the oil, and we come up around the front, and we begin to pray, just maybe a handful of us, 6 or 8 of us, begin to pray for that lady that night, and the power of God fell in that church that night. I'm telling you, it fell. They was coming, they was running out and telling people in the parking lot. They was running back in. And it wasn't 5 or 10 minutes until we had just about the whole church gathered back up in the front. The power of God was falling all around. And you could tell they was just like a sponge soaking up the presence of the Lord. And my wife felt like singing that song, God wants to hear you sing. When the waves are crashing around you, when the fiery darts surround you and despair is all you see, God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and said your circumstance is hopeless as can be. And she began to sing, God wants to hear you sing. And I watched that great big guy fall down on the ground. He began to crawl, Brother David, around the pulpit. And they was just soaking up the blessings of God, and the power of God was falling all around. People were shouting, worshiping God. And I tell you, the Lord got in our arrangements and kept us from going to New York City. Took us down to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, over to Maryland, just to let a little bitty church know, hey, you may not have had a visitation in a while, but there's still a God in your world. You may not understand what you're going through. You may not be able to figure out what you're going through. And I'm telling you, there's still a God in this world. And if God has to, God will move heaven and earth to come to where you're at and let you know there's still a God. I know I've had trials myself. I've had circumstances in my life where I couldn't figure out why I was there and what I was doing there. And I'm telling you, God has never failed to let me know there's still a God in your little bitty world. You may not understand why you're where you're at. And you may not understand the trial you're facing, but this little preacher stopped by to tell you tonight, there's still a God in the middle of your world. And he stopped by tonight to give you an awareness alert, to let you know there's still a God. You may not have been able to find him for a while. You may not have been able to feel his presence. And I'm telling you, there's still a God in your world. I said there's still a God in your world tonight. Hey man, look at this picture here tonight. God had just built this perfect utopia. God had just set everything up the way God wanted it. And then God put man and God put woman in the garden. And just a few short days, man had messed up everything that God had built. He had defiled the world that God had created. But you don't see God running in anger. You don't see God running in with a stick in his hand. The Bible said God came walking in the cool of the day. He didn't run in the middle of the night. He didn't run in with a stick in his hand to pronounce judgment. The Bible said God walked in the cool of the day. I'm afraid we miss God sometimes because he comes walking into our life when we think we should get judgment and the hand of wrath upon our life. God comes walking into our life in the cool of the day. What a picture of forgiveness. What a picture of hope and restoration that God walked into their world. Right after they had messed it up, God came walking into their world and he said, Adam, where are you? Oh, you may have messed it up, son, but I'm going to fix it back. I'm going to put it back. I'm going to fix it back. Yeah, there were some consequences of sin. And I tell you, we find the first place of forgiveness in the Word of God. I said we find the first place of forgiveness in the Word of God right after they had messed it up. I don't care how messed up your world looks tonight. I don't care how upside down your world looks. Just look at Adam and Eve. There was no way they could fix what they had done. And you may be here tonight and there's no way you can fix what's going on in your life. You can try every kind of self-help group you want. I'm telling you, you'll never fix it like it needs to be fixed. And I believe God can walk into your world. I said tonight, I believe God can walk into your world. Sickness, God can walk into your world. Broken home, God can walk into your world. Oh yeah. I said God can walk into the middle of your world and set things back up when you've messed them up. You may have been the one that made the wrong decision. You may have been the one that made the bad choice. I'm telling you, that don't stop God from walking into our world. Oh, hallelujah. I said, that don't stop God from walking into our world and fixing what we have messed up. Can I have 5 more minutes? The other Sunday night, and I hope you don't fall out with me here, but 2 or 3 weeks ago on a Sunday night, my little boy had done something we told him not to do. Trey, he had done something we told him not to do. And so I had to take some discipline action. I busted him. Y'all believe in that? Amen. All right, I'm in good shape then. Y'all ain't going to turn me in, are you? I gave him a whooping. And you know, as dads do sometimes, I just whooped him real good. Told him to go in there in the other room. You know, I assured him that I loved him. I know they really believe us, you know, right after we give him a whooping. But I put him in the other room. His mama got him up in her lap. And she began to talk to him about right and wrong, about good and evil. And it was just a minor infraction. I'm telling you, that little boy all of a sudden got tore up. Not because he'd got a whipping, but because he realized that there's right and wrong in the world. And he started getting broke up. His mama started telling him, you know, there's laws and rules that God has set. And we can't break those laws. And when your parents are in your life, you've got to obey your parents. And you know, she just kind of went down the line giving this parental talk. When she got done, Trey was crying because he realized he had sinned against the law of God. And he said, Mama, I want to pray. He was crying. Mama, I want to pray. I want to get things right with God. And his mama hollered at me, and I come in there. And she told me what was going on, and I could see the tears in his eyes, and I could tell, you know, that. And his mom was crying as well. So I said, well, let's just pray as a family. And we knelt down as a family. around my chair there in our house. And we began to pray. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost fell in that little house where we was at. And I started weeping. I started crying. And I could hear Trey. He was right beside me. I had my arm around him. He was saying, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me." And I'm telling you, that touched my heart so much. I started praying, "Lord, forgive me." Everything I had under the blood, I said, "Lord, forgive me." And I just started rejoicing in the fact that a God would forgive our sins. We prayed probably 30 minutes. We had one of them prayer meetings, Sister Odie. We prayed for a while and rejoiced and hooped and hollered and just thanked the Lord for His presence in our home. And when we got done, Trey stood up. He put his arms, I was on my knees, he put his arms around my neck. And he said, "Dad, I'm ready to start my brand new life." I know that's humorous, but 6 years old, and God walked into that little bitty boy's world. And God became a reality in that little boy's world. And you tell me God can't walk into your world when it's all messed up and make Himself a reality in your world? I said, are you telling me tonight that God can't walk into your world? Preacher, it's so messed up. It's so far from where it needs to be. I understand that. And I'm telling you, God can walk into your world when the pieces are all scattered out and you feel like there's no way you can pick it up and put it back together again. I'm telling you, God can walk into your world. I said, God can walk into your world. And one by one, He'll pick up the pieces and He'll put it all back together again if you'll let God walk into your life tonight. Too many times we come to the house of God and we can believe for that person over there and that person over there, and we know God will do it for the pastor. And I tell you, I see this more than anything, Brother Davey. We have people that can't believe it for themselves. They can believe it for somebody over there. I know God can do it for them. And I know God can, if He can do it for them, He'll do it for you. I said, if He can do it for them, He'll do it for you. Amen. It don't matter. There's no respecter of persons with God. If He'll do it for the preacher, if He'll do it for the Sunday school teacher, He'll do it for you as well. No matter where you're at, I'm telling you, God can walk into your world and fix it the way it needs to be fixed. Would you stand with me tonight? The Bible said He knows when the sparrow falls to the ground. He knows when that little bitty bird falls out of the air, falls to the ground. And then He tells us in that same passage, are you not of much more value than many sparrows? I'm telling you, you're valuable to God tonight. I don't care who you are, where you're sitting in this building tonight, you're valuable to God. Oh yeah, you're valuable to God. God loves you. And God cares for you. And God would like to walk into your world tonight, wherever you're at in life. God would like to walk into your world. And He'd like to fix your world like it needs to be fixed. Thank God for all the wonderful things that we have here in the church. I'm telling you, we don't have enough power. If we could, we would, but we don't have enough power to fix your situation. But we're not required to. All we're required to do is preach to you a gospel and tell you of a God that'll come to where you're at and fix your little bitty world. I know I asked for 5 minutes. Can I have a couple more minutes? I just can't get this story off my mind. I hope I haven't preached too long. But we do prison work. In fact, that's where I was first started preaching, in this prison ministry. And we do that the first 2 Monday nights of every month. And just to be honest with you, I'd about rather preach there than anywhere. It's like a mission field. You just have such a response. And I went there, and I'll make this short. I went there one Monday night. And you know, we have to weed through a lot of guys that just want prison house religion. You know, they just want to get out of the jam they're in. But this guy stood up, and he was over on this side in the little chapel where we preach. He stood up and said, "Y'all, I'm hooked on drugs. My wife's hooked on drugs. My home's busted up. My children are in DHS custody." He said, "Neither me or my wife is saved, of course." And he said, "We're so bound by drugs." He said, "I landed here in this prison. My wife's going to a women's prison. Our children, we may never see them again as far as in their home." And he began to weep and said, "Y'all, I need God to move in my life." And I could tell that young man was sincere. I got up to preach that night. It was my night to preach. I got up to preach. I've never done it before or since, but while I was preaching my message, the Holy Ghost touched my heart. And I went back to where that young man was at, and I shook his hand. And I told them other men, I said, for a few minutes, I'm just going to preach to this young man right here. I said, "Y'all have to forgive me." And I just went down just like we do on the street, telling him what he needed to do with his life, turn his heart and life over to the Lord. And I tell you, I got anointed preaching to him. And I said, "If you'll just give your heart and life to the Lord, God will turn your situation around. God will give you your wife back, your home back, your children back. And whoa, I thought, man, I don't know anything that's going to happen. And I just felt inspired by the Holy Ghost to preach to him like that. We came back. He prayed that night. Of course, we were limited on time. We came back the next Monday night. And he looked a mess, you know. And he came running up to me in that next service. Had a haircut, looked decent. He said, "Preacher, do you know who I am?" And he had changed so much in a week's time, I didn't even know who he was. I said, "You'll have to help me and tell me who you are." And all those things that had me bound. And we thanked the Lord for a little bit. And he said, "Preacher, I want to tell you what else God's done." He said, "I just got word from my wife." And he said, "Yesterday," which would have been Sunday, he said, "she went to a church and she got saved and she's delivered from drugs and the Lord really saved her." He said, "Preacher, I don't know how it happened, but just today DHS called us." That's the Department of Human Services that had their children. He said, "They called us. He said, I don't know why we're doing this, but we're going to put your children back in your home." He said, "The state dropped all the charges against my wife." And he said, "The prison came today and told me, we're going to let you out before this week's over." And he said, "Preacher, this Sunday, me and my wife and my children is going to be in a church for the first time in our life as a family." I'm telling you, that don't just happen overnight. But when God walks into your world, I said, when God walks into your world, He's going to fix things better than they were before. I said, God's going to fix things better than they were before if you'll let God walk into your world and fix whatever's messed up in your life. I don't care what kind of problem it is, sickness, disease, I don't care what it is. When God walks into your world, God will fix it better than it was before if you'll let God work in your life. Could we praise Him just for a minute? Oh, I want to follow the Lord here. I feel the Lord in this service. Could we praise Him just for a minute? I want to follow the Lord here. Hallelujah. God, I sense Your presence in this place tonight. I want to be obedient to the Holy Ghost here tonight. God, I want You to have Your way in this altar service right here tonight, Lord. I want You to walk into this church. Walk into somebody's world, Lord. Fix the problems and the situations that men and women are in tonight, and we'll be careful to praise You for it. In Jesus' name. Brother David, if it's all right, I just want to do it like this. If you've got a situation that you know you need God in your life and you need God in your situation, I want you to just step out and come up around the front and stand around the front. If that's all right, we're going to get some of these good people to pray for you here in just a minute. Whatever your situation is, I tell you, sister, I can't even remember your name, but the Lord laid you on my heart when I walked in here tonight. I believe God wants to fix your situation. I looked over and looked at you, at her tonight, and the Lord laid her on my heart. I don't have a clue what the situation is. And I believe the Lord would like to fix whatever that situation is tonight. Oh, I feel the Lord here tonight. I said, I feel the Lord here tonight. Anyone else, you got a situation you want God to work in your life? Whatever it is.
And every night as you lay down.
Hallelujah.
Angels are
coming. You got a situation you want God to work in.
Around.
Let's move in around these altars. Brother David, would you come help us pray?
For He is in the midst.
Hallelujah.
He's in the midst of
the hallelujah.
Storm. He's in the valley.
Anyone else? I believe there's more here. Your situation needs to get into the presence of God tonight.
When you feel so alone.
Hallelujah. I'm going to give us just a minute. I believe there's some others
that
need to make a move to this altar here tonight.
He's with us now.
Hallelujah.
Our Lord, He's in the midst.
Oh, I believe God wants to work here tonight.
He's in the midst.
You got a situation you need to hand to God in. Make a move to this
He's
altar tonight.
In the
we're fixing to pray.
We